To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Sue Thomas is dressing up this week, Fred. You notice that?
Yeah,
she's got some job interviews. I'm a little worried. Are you going? Like, are you leaving us? Are you interviewing somewhere else?
Job interviews. I didn't see her bottom half.
Yeah, the bottom half
is reassuring.
At least she has something on the bottom half. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's doubly reassuring.
I wasn't sure what was going on there. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Ethan, can you do me a huge favor and open up those blinds just a little bit? It's such a beautiful day. We have the big switch over here in the studio. And Annie, because she has a lot more use of the cameras, because she's a lot nicer to look at on camera than I am. And then they keep the sunlight out because of that, but I like to allow the sunlight in. We had this discussion a couple of days ago. Like, I used to have this fight when I was on Camo X with, not like a real fight, but it was a bit of a battle between Carol Daniel, one of my former colleagues, and then Bill Reeker, who was a news guy. When I wrapped my show at 6 o'clock, because I did 2 to 6 for a while over there, the second I left the studio, Bill Reeker would come in and flip the fluorescent lights on. And Carol would like the fluorescent, like when Limbaugh was on, there was nobody else in the studio, just, you know, news people. So I'd have to go in there, and I'd have to be really careful because, and I get it, she's anchoring a newscast, right? But I didn't want to flip the lights like right in the middle of Carol's newscast, so I would wait, like literally wait until she locked down, and then boom, fluorescent lights were
good.
Gone.
Because they're evil.
I don't, like, if I wanted to work around fluorescent lights, I would have, you know, worked in a cubicle somewhere or something like that.
Anyway. Or a major shopping center.
There is that.
Yes.
Right. So anyway, we have mood settings in here. We have Sue looking very nicely. We have Fred now wearing very fashionable shoes. I mean, this show evolves. We move forward. And we don't look back, right? I think that's basically what I can say. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about, you know, this peace deal is enormous. And there's a lot of talk about President Trump getting the Nobel Peace Prize, which is announced at, I think, 4 a.m. our time tomorrow. I think it's 5 a.m. Eastern time, but in the morning hours. So by the time, well, look, Sue, you'll be up, and Fred, you'll be walking Luna at the time. I think that in fact, I know that the betting markets right now, not that I look at the betting markets ever. I mean, that would be something. I'm just being shared that information. But it has it at about 6% that he'll win the Peace Prize. Now, let me explain this for a couple of minutes here. Even the Washington Post put something up there today that said, yes, he should probably win the Nobel Peace Prize. There's been a lot of Democrat support for this peace deal. We also don't know what's going to happen on Monday. We're talking about the hostages being released that day. That's a big deal. But what the Nobel Committee says is that they voted on this thing on Monday. Okay, so it's extremely unlikely. So people will freak out tomorrow, right? They'll say, oh, they didn't give it to Trump. I'm not sure they would have given it to him anyway. Let's say the deadline is tonight. I'm not saying that they would have. But I don't think there's a good chance that he's going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. They would maybe say, okay, maybe for next year. I mean, Obama got it, and he didn't do a damn thing. But again,
I think that's what Trump's thinking.
Right. But again, they voted on Monday, so there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Yeah, Ari Fleischer, earlier on Fox News, you know, he was the former press spokesperson, former Caroline, for President Trump.
The former Caroline, I love that. Why wasn't he the former KJP friend?
Oh, yeah, good point. But he said no way would he get it, even with this.
Even with it.
It's just too much old school on the Nobel Peace Prize Committee.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I think that it's 6% now because they already voted. It's probably 10% if they hadn't voted. So it's not going to happen. But listen, this is a huge, huge story. And this is what President Trump said in a cabinet meeting. Oh, yeah. He holds cabinet meetings. Joe Biden never used to do that.
You know, last night we reached a momentous breakthrough in the Middle East, something that people said was never going to be done. We ended the war in Gaza and really, on a much bigger basis, created peace. And I think it's going to be a lasting peace, hopefully an everlasting peace. Peace in the Middle East. We secured the release of all of the remaining hostages, and they should be released on Monday or Tuesday. Getting them is a complicated process. I'd rather not tell you what they have to do to get them. There are places you don't want to be, but we are getting the hostages back on Monday or Tuesday.
So this is kind of amazing. If you haven't heard this audio or seen the video, Trump was on this phone call with a bunch of the families that have, you know, members that are being held hostage. And he was on the phone when all this was happening. Now I can't find the damn soundbite, Fred. You remember what that? Here it is, hostages.
Right.
So this is what happens. They're all kind of gathered around the phone.
We've heard it again and again from a number of people.
That is not the right one. The host played the wrong one. Here it is.
President Trump, you have the best crowd in the world. What do you guys have to say to President Trump?
Thank you very much, everybody.
You did it.
We trust you fulfill the mission until every hostage, every 48 of the hostages are home. Thank you so much. God bless the peacemakers.
God bless you, Mr. President. God bless America.
Thank you very much. You just take care of yourselves. The hostages will come back. They're coming. All coming back on Monday.
Yeah, it seems at this point the timeline might be thrown off just a little bit, maybe Monday or Tuesday, but let me kind of go through the particulars here. Let me also say that I've been around the story of Middle East violence and peace and all this for many decades,
yes.
And usually these things do not hold. However, getting this is multifaceted the way that this is going to kick in. However, if this happens for a reality on Monday with the hostages and the prisoner exchange, I'll explain that. That in and of itself, I mean, even if they start dropping bombs and fighting again, it's a big deal. Now, this also, you know, what I think the experts will tell you, and we'll have some of those experts on this afternoon, if they do release the hostages, well, then their leverage is
shot.
Really gone. But here's what's happening right now. There are 48 hostages, 20 of whom are believed to be alive. That's it, just 20 who are supposed to be alive. That's what Trump said last night, that they would be released on Monday. We're hearing today, maybe it could be Tuesday. The bodies of the hostages who have died will be handed over. And Hamas is saying it will need a couple of weeks, at least 10 days, to locate the bodies of dead hostages, according to the people involved in the talks.
I'll just gloss over that, I guess. But
well,
geez.
I don't know if they know where all that. I mean, that, yeah. Do they have a place that they put the hostages' bodies? I don't know. This one's controversial for the Israelis. Look, there's a lot of joy. Now, one thing I heard somebody say, Fred, you probably heard some of this coverage too. You have to realize that there are people who were, I don't know if there were any radio hosts or media people, but probably, but they had to enlist in re-enlist in the army. They all have to do their service in Israel, but there are just regular people, young people in particular, who were thrown into service and are not with their families and they're fighting this war. So one of the things that's a little tougher, I think, for the Israelis to swallow is they have to release 250 Palestinians who are in Israeli prisons and 1,700 Palestinians who have been detained in Gaza during the conflict. So who's on that list in particular? That's being finalized right now. That's a tricky part. Hamas has pushed to get as many big-name prisoners, whoever those might be, released as soon as possible. They cite in some of the coverage Marwan Barghouti, who I guess Israel jailed over his role in an uprising in the early 2000s. So they're going way back to some prisoners that have been held way, way before that. The deal includes a map of the withdrawal lines, but without the exact locations or coordinates. The final lines will, I guess, still be under discussion. And the Rafah crossing with Egypt will be open. That is going to happen when the ceasefire comes into full effect to facilitate aid deliveries and allow for entry and exit of Palestinians. The you know, the Egyptians weren't too interested in allowing hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to cross into their border, but they're going to assist in this particular situation. Jen Griffin, who does a great job at reporting on all of this for Fox, I think she's one of the best out there. She sat down, Fred, with the Israeli foreign minister and asked him some questions, some follow-up. Where is this going to go next?
If Hamas carries out its part of the agreement, is this the end of the war?
Well, it's the implementation of the first phase. We don't have any intention to renew the war, but parts of the commitments is, for example, the disarmament of Hamas, that they will lay down their arms and so on.
And that will be phase two.
But we will first have a ceasefire immediately after the decision will be approved by the government. There will be a ceasefire, and then the commitment within 72 hours of Hamas to release all the hostages. I believe that that should bring the end to this war.
Well, that's what we're hoping, right? But phase two, everybody who is analyzing this and kind of keeping an eye on handicapping it will admit that that's a lot of, you know, hope in that second phase, because you got to stop the fighting. Now, on the hostages and how that works out.
Do you expect all of the hostages, the 20 living and the 28 deceased, to be released on Monday? Do you expect all of them to be released? And what happens if they are not?
This is the commitment, the clear commitment of Hamas in this deal. I'm not answering an if questions, because it never helps. We expect that everyone will fulfill its commitments.
And you expect them all to come out at the same time? Hamas says that they don't know where some of the deceased hostages are and they need more time.
We expect the deal to be respected and for them to deliver what they agreed to deliver.
Okay, so that's the hope. But what I guess one of the questions that President Trump was asked during the cabinet meeting is, what if Hamas does not abide, which... You know, again, I wouldn't be shocked if that happens.
What guarantees Hamas disarms and that Israel doesn't resume bombing once the hostages are released?
Well, the first thing we're doing is getting our hostages back, okay? And that's what people wanted more than anything else. They wanted these hostages back that have lived in hell like nobody has ever even dreamt possible. And after that, we'll see. But they've agreed to things, and I think it's going to move along pretty well.
But what is... Phase two. When does it begin?
Well, I'm not going to talk about that, because you sort of know what phase two is, but there will be disarming, there will be pullbacks, there will be a lot of things that are happening. You know, I gave you a whole list of 22 different things that will take place, and I think it'll take place, and I think you're going to end up with peace in the Middle East. But we have to get our hostages back. And we weren't going to do it at the end. We're going to do it at the beginning.
So that's where he is on all that. Look, I will tell you, in the last couple of days, that I have felt even somewhat guilty, because when we wrapped up the show on Tuesday, and I thought to myself, we really didn't spend a ton of time on the anniversary of October 7th. Look, it happened in another country. It's a worldwide story. There's no doubt about that. But I've felt impacted in the last couple of days from this perspective. And we're all desensitized because... We see these things. We just saw a guy a month ago yesterday, you know, have his neck blown off in front of people. But you forget, and you shouldn't forget, the same way we shouldn't forget 9/11, the horrors that Hamas committed. You know, these punk kids on college campuses and, you know, the Free Hamas and everything, what they did to these Israelis, I mean, not only did they kill 1,200 of them, but the way that they sliced them up, they beheaded, they forced children to watch their parents be slaughtered in front, not just killed, but slaughtered. They watched parents watch their children be slaughtered. That's the type of things that these people did. And it's on video in many cases. I'm still a little disappointed. You know, a lot of people who went to Israel, some of the people we have on the show on a regular basis, were, even Josh Hammer, they were allowed to see this video that was put out. I think it was, you know, produced by the Israeli government, of the horrors of that day, because I don't think the world has really seen those horrors. I, you know, hope that there are Democrats out there that are waving their Palestinian flags if they would think just for a moment of the brutality that occurred on that day to the Israelis. Now, that doesn't mean you starve women and children and civilians, but the civilian population in Gaza, and President Trump knows this, they're the ones that have been most affected by this. And it's not because of Israel, and it's not because of America, it's because of their own leadership. So the thing that's most confusing to me, or at least the thing that I have the biggest question on moving forward, because I'm not a Middle East peace expert, is who's going to run this whole thing? I know that that's mapped out in some of the playbook that they unveiled a couple of weeks ago, but would you have a fair amount of confidence that you can get? I mean, Hamas was the government of the Palestinians and of Gaza. So what exactly and how will that manifest itself? And then with the remaining Hamas leaders, are they going to ship them out somewhere, drop them somewhere where they're safe and they're not taken out? So still
right.
a lot
know.
Of questions that remain moving forward. Charles Lipson's going to join us this afternoon from the University of Chicago. Brad Young will be here as well. We have a Thursday edition of Sue's News. The Attorney General of Missouri, the new one, Catherine Hanaway, is going to join us this afternoon. And Senator Eric Schmidt as well in the 5 o'clock hour. Chris Gervino, my old J school buddy, who calls the games on Missouri basketball and football, is going to give us a preview of the Mizzou-Alabama game at 5:30, plus an audio cut of the day. We're off and running here on a Thursday edition of the Mark Reardon Show.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there, and we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Sue, I think Fred would tell you we were very close to only having three members on the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. You're not going to be here, so I couldn't even put you into service. You're taking Friday off, but we did fill Jane's seat because Jane is gone. By the way, I don't even know where Jane is.
She's in Greece and Turkey.
Okay. Now, look, I had to send her a message yesterday that was very important. We don't have time. We have a very important guest, Charles Lipson, coming up. But will you remind me, because I had an emergency. I'm going to put emergency here.
Does that involve cookies?
Look. it's an emergency. Uh-huh. I'm not going to tell you what it involves, but it's an emergency, and I'm in a crisis right now, and I need help, and Jane might be the only person for me. But right now, I want to visit with my friend Charles Lipson, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago. We'll talk a little politics here and about this peace deal. Charles, how are you? Welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a good week.
I am. It's a beautiful fall day here in Chicago. What's it like in St. Louis?
Beautiful. One of those 10% days, as I like to call them. I mean, it is gorgeous.
I love it.
I hope it's...
I just saw something about this Middle East peace deal that I think will amuse you, Mark.
Yes.
It is Barack Obama saying it's a... after 2 years of unimaginable suffering and loss, you know, for the people of Gaza, no mention of Israel.
Right. Did he really say that?
We should all be encouraged and relieved that the end of the conflict is in sight. And he prattles on. There is not a single mention of Donald Trump.
Well, of course not. Yeah, they're going to have a hard time
words,
here.
The peace deal just happened. It just happened. All kind of magic.
I think you're going to see a lot of that. Although I saw something in the Washington Post where they even sort of tacitly admitted that Trump might deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, which he will not get because they voted on the prize on Monday. But something, you broke this down in your newsletter this morning, and I just addressed this in the monologue, so I have to ask you about this because you want to be optimistic. But then one of my questions heading into the break, Charles, was, okay, well, who's going to run the government, right? And one of your points is Gazans are sick of Hamas, but there is no successor and they still hate Jews. That seems to be still a significant hurdle moving forward.
That's right. First of all, we don't know until the next key move is releasing all the hostages living and dead. And if that happens, then we've made a major step toward a real peace settlement. If it doesn't happen, it was all a fraud pulled off by Hamas. Trump himself was very generous toward the Gulf Arab states putting in their 2 cents on all of this, and most importantly, putting tremendous pressure on Hamas. Israel put itself in this position, I think, when they made a tremendous tactical error in attacking the Hamas leaders who are in Qatar, because that sort of opened a moment. And one thing Trump is particularly good at is seizing the moment. If the hostages are released, he will seize the moment again by going to the Middle East. He won't wait for them to come to the White House. He won't the hostages and so forth. He'll go there for one of the most emotional moments in modern history. He will be there to address the Knesset, the Israel's parliament, and to greet all these hostages and to offer consolation to the families whose loved ones who were killed by Hamas in captivity are returned. If all of that happens, which I certainly hope it does.
Is there one of the things that you wrote about, and this is where we don't have perspective, mm-hmm. really, because, you know, I even mentioned this in the break. You have a lot of people that were called back into service. They have, you know, obligatory military service in Israel. A lot of folks were just doing their regular jobs, and then a war breaks out, right? They're called into action. So that's significant for families, for loved ones. So one of the things that was happening inside of Israel, if I understand you correctly, is that the support for Netanyahu's strategy wasn't as strong. They're worn out by this. Like, too many people are dying. You had pointed out that IDF leaders are worried about rising casualties because they're, you know, fighting door to door and they're still being killed by Hamas. So there was, you know, there is a strong desire within Israel to move forward, obviously, under conditions like this that have been spelled out in this agreement.
That's exactly right. Let me give an American story that most of us wouldn't have known. I didn't know it until fairly recently. By 1944, support in the United States for fighting World War II had dropped significantly. I mean, it was still a majority supporting. But these wars, and we were winning in both the Atlantic and Pacific, but we hadn't won in either theater. and yet support was dropping. So long wars in democracies lose support. They may lose it in autocracies and dictatorships as well, but we don't have reliable measures. So, yes, it was dropping. Netanyahu is a controversial figure, as your audience knows, but I think they may not know just how consequential he is. He's not just let me come to the security in just a second. About 30 years ago, Netanyahu changed the economy of Israel. He was the finance minister, the equivalent of both the Secretary of the Treasury here and the Secretary of Commerce and all the rest. And Israel until that time had been kind of a socialist government and with a lot of state ownership of banks and enterprises. He changed it all over to capitalism. And since then, Israel has grown like a rocket. And it now has a income per capita that's higher than almost all the European states, higher than in England, higher than Italy, higher than France, and growing at a steady rate, and has grown at a steady rate even during the war.
That's kind of amazing. Now, yeah, that's really interesting.
It is amazing. And that's really crucial because you not only have a strong economy, but a high-tech economy that the Gulf states would like to have strong connections to. Now, what did Israel do during the current war? What it did was the main enemy was Iran, but the immediate enemy was not only Hamas in Gaza with its unprovoked attack and 1,200 plus killed and 200 plus taken captive and so forth. But the next day, Hezbollah, which controlled southern Lebanon and was the most powerful actor in Lebanon as a whole, attacked from the north with strong support from Iran, which funded it and gave it all the weapons. So you had Israel fighting that war. And what did Netanyahu, leading the government, do? They took out all this so-called ring of fire and then attacked Iran itself, which was using the ring of fire as a kind of protective glacis under which they could develop their nuclear deliverable nuclear weapons. Now, they wouldn't have attacked Israel right out of the blue. They knew they would be exterminated if they did. But if the Iranian Islamic regime were falling, they might very well attack and kill literally tens of Israel has 9 million people. They would kill as many of them as they could with nuclear weapons.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, before I let you go, just quickly, because we were focusing on the peace deal, but on the government shutdown, I have Senator Schmidt coming on here in a couple hours, actually an hour and a half after 5 o'clock. I thought maybe this would be wrapped up by midpoint here. It looks like it's going to drag on a little bit, but it doesn't look like the Democrats are gaining any more leverage here. You see this differently?
I agree. By the way, I think Senator Schmidt is a real prize. I think he's one of the strongest, most informed, and most intelligent senators on Capitol Hill.
You know why that is, Charles? You know why that is? He cut his teeth here on the Mark Reardon Show. That's right. His humble beginnings were here.
Well,
he was the official state senator of the Mark Reardon Show.
With this guy.
Yeah. No.
He is very impressed with this guy. His education on your show, the things you did to beef up his resume are just amazing.
He really is doing a great job, though. I love it.
I think that the next big question is Trump sees the fact that Democrats have dug a hole for themselves. He's let them wallow in the hole. The question is whether he'll pull the trigger on downsizing the government and firing people. I think the reason he's been reluctant to do it is that he thinks it will change the narrative. He won't do it until after Monday and after the hostages thing in Israel. But will he do it? It's a big chance to make a very fundamental change, even though it might cost him some of the support that he now has for the clean CR. So that's the question I would like to the Missouri senator to answer.
A lot of fascinating things happening right now. Never a dull moment. Charles Lipson, thank you so much. You enjoy that Chicago weather. We'll see you soon.
You too,
all
my
right,
friend.
Take care.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Got a little Thursday edition of Sue's News coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Catherine Hanaway, the Missouri Attorney General, at 4:30. Brad Young is with us, one of our legal experts, partner with Harris Young and Kaiser. How are you, Brad? Good afternoon. Great to have you on.
I'm doing great, sir. Great to talk to you.
So one of the stories that is developing this afternoon, this is going to be something I'm going to ask the Attorney General about, is, you know, there's been all this controversy about Alfred Montgomery, the sheriff, the newer sheriff who was elected, who has, you know, bought nice cars for himself and done some other things that are somewhat questionable in his office, as we're all aware that he is currently under house arrest. Have you heard about that? Now, Catherine's going to address this because obviously she's been involved in trying to get rid of him at this point. But that's a little unusual to have the sheriff arrested. He posts something on his Facebook page about this, and I guess he's got an ankle bracelet on right now.
Yeah, he does. That's not just a rumor. It's true. In fact, the federal magistrate ordered him to wear an ankle monitor as part of the conditions set for his home or house confinement until this case proceeds to trial. So yeah, he's at home, you know, kind of like Ant-Man, like Paul Rudd in Ant-Man with the great big ankle monitors, you know, and he can't leave the house. And yeah, that's Alfred Montgomery.
I did like that first Ant-Man. I thought it was pretty good for sure. It's such a weird story though with this dude. And you know, there were even people like I had him in the studio when he was running, and I, you know, did a favor for Jamila Nasheed, former senator, who, you know, had, I think, played some role in bringing up Alfred Montgomery. But I think even Jamila is embarrassed by his behavior at this point. Let's talk some national politics, and let's not go too far. Let's go to the state of Illinois, where Brandon Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, and J.B. Pritzker, the fat-ass governor of Illinois. Did I say mayor of Wisconsin? Mayor of Chicago. Did I just say Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Good Lord. Anyway, they keep saying stupid things about, you know, illegals and trying to keep ICE away.
We've made sure that people know their rights and they know how to find out what their rights are, because we don't want them picked up off the streets just because they're brown or black, just because they happen to be undocumented and have committed no crimes. Remember, he said he was going after the worst of the worst. It's not going after the worst of the worst when you're just literally stopping children who happen to be brown and asking them for papers as if, you know, they're going to have proof that they're a U.S. citizen.
Okay, first of all, that's not happening. And there are children who might be swept up in some of these things when they're going against gang members. But there have been some court decisions, you know, involving some of these decisions to send the National Guard and troops into cities, haven't there been, Brad?
Yeah, and let me lay it out because it's very confusing, and I'm going to make it very clear to folks exactly what's happening, what's legal, and what's not legal. Because up to this point, President Trump has invoked what's called Title 10. Under Title 10 of the United States Code, the president can federalize National Guard troops and send them in. It doesn't require anything other than him stating that there's some sort of inability to enforce federal law. So he sends them in. However, under Title 10, the troops cannot arrest people. They cannot go in and detain individuals. All they can do under Title 10, literally, as long as the governor doesn't allow it, all those troops can do is to protect federal property. That's it. So when it comes to ICE, though, I mean, ICE is different. They do have authority. They do have jurisdiction. And those ICE raids have been upheld consistently because they're enforcing immigration law. And listen, the progressive left today, they just want an open border. And so anytime there's going to be federal enforcement of any sort of immigration laws, they're going to squawk and scream and complain. But the bottom line is what is happening right now, whether it's with the National Guard troops or with ICE, is legal.
So these still have to be, I mean, they're suing at every turn, right, to stop this stuff.
Sure.
And some of this still needs to go up to higher courts, et cetera. Does one of these cases end up at the Supreme Court?
Perhaps, but let's look at what's gone on in Illinois, because that's a very good indicator of what's going to happen here. Initially, when Gavin Newsom, another guy running for president, filed suit against President Trump, sending in troops to L.A., the court allowed, under Title 10, the president to send in troops for that limited purpose, guarding federal property and doing administrative activities, not law enforcement activities, because that's banned under what's called the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. Now, having said that, the troops that were in Los Angeles went beyond that, all right? So they actually were involved with arresting and detaining individuals. So even though the court initially said it was okay, a subsequent court, after seeing what the troops actually did when they were on the ground, said those troops did not have the authority to arrest, detain, and act like police officers. So that was then rescinded in terms of what they were doing. So if you apply that to Chicago, the same applies. Okay, it's the same situation. You got a blue state governor says no to the troops. So as long as they remain within the confines of what they can do legally, it's perfectly fine. If they start arresting individuals or acting like cops, then that will go beyond what Title 10 allows.
That's different. All right. I had Ilya Shapiro on yesterday. I want you to explain the Supreme Court case that went before the justices this week on the Colorado conversion therapy ban. A little confused on this particular case. So what can you tell us about that? And it seems like with the arguments that happened a couple of days ago on Tuesday, that the court might be poised to rule for this Christian therapist who said that basically her free speech rights were violated by this law in Colorado that bars mental health professionals from seeking to change a minor's sexual orientation or gender identity.
Correct. This is a law that Colorado passed. And by the way, what the heck is going on in Colorado? You've got these cake bake cases. You got the website cases. Now you got the Christian counselor cases. I don't know why Colorado is so upset over Christians, but they clearly are. Anyway, let's talk about the merits of this case. Colorado passed a law in 2019 stating that it prohibits licensed professionals from discussing anything about gender identity with changing your gender identity back to align with your birth gender identity. It doesn't go the other way.
Yeah,
it can
of course
encourage
not.
Them. They can encourage kids to change their gender apart from their birth identity, but they're not allowed to talk about changing it back to align with their birth identity. So that tells you all you need to know. So one of these counselors filed a lawsuit, said, I can't practice as a counselor. It's now up at the Supreme Court. And yeah, it violates multiple things. It violates, number one, It violates freedom of speech, just like the cake bake case, just like the website designer case. It's identical. The state is making a discrimination based upon the content of the speech that's prohibited under the First Amendment. It also violates the free exercise clause of the First Amendment because you're telling counselors you cannot teach what is generally accepted as mainstream Protestant Christian doctrine when it comes to someone being aligned with their birth gender. And so it violates it. The justices were skeptical, and this will get overturned.
It's such a weird law to begin with, because what it does, this statute prohibits, quote, any practice or treatment, unquote, that tries to change a minor's, quote, gender expressions or to eliminate or reduce sexual or romantic attraction or feelings toward individuals of the same sex, unquote. Why that would even be in any statute in this country is beyond me. But what Sam Alito and others said, basically, it looks like the bans like this look like blatant viewpoint discrimination. We've seen a lot of that here in the last 4 years, and that's exactly what it is.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's why I don't see this as even being a big deal. It might be a 6-3. I could really see a 7-2 here because Kagan is kind of, if you look at some of Kagan's decisions on these types of issues, she tends to favor free speech. So I say it's either going to be 6-3 or 7-2, but it'll be an overwhelming majority.
All right, Brad, anything else on your radar right now?
Well, there's all kinds of things. The one thing I do want to bring up is this, because New York City has filed a lawsuit against multiple social media companies, basically alleging that that the algorithms in social media are addicting to children, and therefore it violates their public nuisance laws. They're asking for damages. Over 200 school districts now are suing Google, suing Meta, obviously Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, and others, because they're addicting our children. And I will be fascinated.
I will too.
In watching this litigation play out.
By the way, here's a breaking story for you. Grand jury has just indicted Tisch, New York Attorney General Letitia James, on fraud charges. According to a source that told the Associated Press, she was indicted in the Eastern District of Virginia on one count after a mortgage fraud investigation said the person who spoke on the condition of anonymity. So we've talked about this case before, and there comes the indictment.
Ouch. Yeah. And some of these people who before were engaging in what's called lawfare, using the legal system against their political enemies, they were hip deep in this, and now they're squawking about it. But why weren't they squawking about it or stopping doing it when they were doing this years ago?
Yeah, in this particular case, this was like mortgage fraud, right? She claims that she made an error filling out a form related to the home purchase, but says that it was rectified, didn't deceive the lender. I'm not so sure about that. They may have a case here, so we'll see what happens. Brad, always great to have you on. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mark.
All right, are you going to the game on Saturday or not?
I almost had a chance to get tickets and it fell through. Yeah. So no, I'll be watching it like everybody else.
I'm nervous. That Bama quarterback is really, really good. I have Chris Trevino, my friend who calls, does the sideline reporting for Mizzou on at 5:30 with a bit of a preview of the game, but it's going to be a good one. There's no doubt about that. Thank you, Brad.
My pleasure.
All right. Sue, it's hard to believe we had Chris Kerber on last night talking about the Blues and previewing the season. The Wild, the Minnesota Wild in town tonight, game one of the 2025-2026 season for a really talented young core of the St. Louis Blues in what could be a fun season. At least we hope that way. You just never know. Ask the Baltimore Ravens. You don't know how the games are going to go. I had a question for you just because I go through this area. Usually I'd go right past Enterprise on my way home on 14th Street, but tonight, because of the Blues game, they'll have that closed off at Market. But I think about this because I get on to 44 right off of where Lafayette and Truman are, right?
Yeah.
And I used to live off of 55.
Sure.
Even when I lived in Jeffco Fenton, I would take 55 all the way down to 141. But that damn on-ramp, and I guess the exit ramp right there at Lafayette and Truman, that thing's been closed down for like
years.
3 years.
Yes.
And this is my question for you. Do you ever think it's going to reopen? Now, we know that stretch you always talk about. Like, if people were playing the drinking game and they heard you say 55 is slowing down at Bates, they'd be wasted by the end of the show.
Yes.
But, I mean, do they ever plan on opening that damn thing up?
I have to consider that it's part of the endless 55 construction.
Right.
So until that's done, I don't think they want too much traffic coming down into 55 where the left lanes are blocked.
But it's just crazy to think that some of these projects that would probably be the way that you and Fred would get on
if
you were going home, right?
Oh, for sure.
So now what do? You take Gravois down over the highway?
Here's
and then
the hot tip. If you go left on Shodo and then go right, you can get on 7th Street.
Oh, that's not a bad tip. That's pretty easy,
but
right?
But it's difficult to merge over the 44 lanes to get to 55. Otherwise, yes, you got to go to Gravois.
No, the 7th, that's a good trick, and I understand that one. But I just started, and I know that you and Fred, you have to deal with looking at that stuff on 55. It's just mind-boggling to me how long some of these things are taking.
But that's why I think that ramp is closed, because they can't put too much traffic down in there.
I just look at it and say, is that ever going to reopen?
No.
Hey, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Should be a good one. Jeff Rainford on the panel. Donna Behringer making a return.
Oh, yay.
She's been so busy as the St. Louis Comptroller, and Mike Elam from St. Charles. It starts at 3 tomorrow. Jane's off another week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.